All right, today we continue now in our series, I Believe. We've been, the last few weeks I've been going over this thought, I Believe. The first 2 weeks we talked about faith and what faith really means. We just opened up the Word of the Lord and begin to read Scripture, what the Bible says faith is. And we have come to the conclusion that faith will bring to me what God has ordained for me. And if I pray about it and it doesn't come my way as a Christian, I'm okay with that. Even though I may have a day or two of feeling sorry for myself or mourning that disappointment on something I really wanted, when I have a true meaning of walking in faith, then I realize this, that God, if I prayed about it, if I had faith for it, and then it didn't come to pass, then you must have a different plan, and I'm okay with that. Cause me, the Lord, to pick my head up and to persevere until I see the next door open, until I see your plan revealed. So faith keeps me persevering and brings to me the things that God has ordained for my life. And we know that faith is what? Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. And we're learning what it means to operate in faith. Faith means what? Acting like God is telling the truth all the time about everything. Pretty simple, huh? I mean, how would our lives change every day if we got up and really believed the word of the Lord? The problem is that we have faith to believe in salvation, but sometimes we have selective faith, and then we don't have believe faith that God can do this in my marriage, or God can do this in my family, or God can do this in my health, or God can do this in my finances. And so when I learn to hear what the word of the Lord says about my life, I say, God, I believe it to be true. I believe when the word of God says that you are no respecter of persons, that if you will do it for them, you can do it for me and want to do it for me if I will just learn to persevere and to keep my head up and go strong in faith. Now today, we're going to pick back up on the thought last week that we started. Last week we started on, remember, keep calm and pass the test. And we talked about passing the test. Today I want to pick back up on this test and talk about why do we have tests. Why do we have tests? I'll be honest with you. I don't like tests. Anybody here really like tests? No, we don't, do we? You know, someone said, I'd go back to college if it wasn't for the tests. Duh. It's something that we don't like tests. They're not easy. That's why we get nervous about tests. We struggle sometimes with tests. We stay up all night cramming to pass tests. So tests doesn't always ring when we talk about taking a test. It doesn't always bring up good emotions in our life. But I will tell you this, we cannot stop the test in our life. God never promised us there wouldn't be tests or storms in our life. Well, I thought when I was a Christian, I wouldn't have to have tests. You thought wrong. Because the scripture is very clear. It never said that God wouldn't test us or God wouldn't allow us to go through storms. What he did say was this, that I would never leave you in that test. I will never forsake you in that storm. He would never leave us or forsake us, and he can give you peace in the middle of your test. He can give you peace in the middle of your storm that causes you to lift your head in faith and say, my God is in control. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to survive. Remember last week we talked about how many people walk into church saying, well, everybody else has got it together but me. Everybody else's life is perfect. Everybody else, they don't have problems with their finances, paying their bills. Everybody else, their children are perfect. Their marriage is perfect. Their health is great. And I'll tell you this, that all of us have tests that we are going through. Everyone in this room has something they're going through in their life. The difference is not that they're not going through it. They have just chosen to react differently. See, the mature Christian says, God, I'm going to react differently. I'm going to keep my head up in the storm. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. But I'm going to say, God, you're in control. I don't like the test, but I'm going to walk through the test. We must face tests in our life. Right now is the time to decide what you believe. Right? Right now is the time to decide what you believe. You got to decide it right now. No one ever likes the test. No one ever likes going through the tough test, but we value the lessons we learn through the hard times, right? So let me ask you that question. How many like going through hard tests? Nobody does, right? Let me ask you this question. How many people have learned some valuable lessons in your life by going through some hard times? Raise your hands. I've learned some tough lessons, Pastor, but they are so valuable. See, we don't like going through the test, but we like the knowledge and the wisdom that came through going through those tough times. And if it wasn't for the tough times, I wouldn't have matured. If it wasn't for the tough times, I wouldn't have changed my lifestyle. If it wasn't for the tough times, my marriage would have been in trouble. If it wasn't for the tough times, I wouldn't be in church today. See, God allows us to go through tests in our life to develop us and to get us where He wants us to go. I don't like having my salary cut 70%. I've had those days. And we say, God, I don't want to face next week, next month's bills. But I had to go through those challenges and learn how to budget and learn how to stop living on credit and learn how to pay cash and learn how to get debt down and learn how to manage myself so I could be a better person. Now I'm a better father for it. I'm a better husband for it. I'm a better manager of my home for going through those tough times of my life. I don't know why my money is so, I'm always having problems. Well, maybe if we would learn to manage it God's way, we would learn some tough lessons going through it now so I can come out and next time I am better equipped to handle my finances so I don't get in the same problem. It's the tough lessons that take me into life's lessons. Okay, the tough tests help me mature. And we see this in Exodus 16:4. We talked about it last week. Let me read it again for a point of reference. See, God said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them." Who's I? It's God. God says, "I'm the one to test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." Look what Exodus says in verse 20 here, 20:20. "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear. God has come to what? Test you.'" It's God who tests us, "and that His fear may be before you so that you may not sin." Look what Deuteronomy 13:3 says, "For the Lord your God is testing you." It's God who's testing us to know whether or not you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So stop blaming the devil for every test we go through. "The devil is just after me, Pastor. He's just trying to steal from my life, and I just can't take it. The devil's always picking on me." And I would say to you today that as a Christian, remember I told you last week, as a Christian, I have spiritual authority. And Scripture says if I rebuke the devil, he must what? Flee from me. So when I'm going through a tough time, I stand up and say, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, you must leave." And if that problem does not leave and it remains, then it must be what? Not from Satan. It must be a test from God. It must be a test that God is choosing for me to walk through. And even though I don't understand it, I gotta be all right, God. I'm walking through this test. I'm walking through this challenge. And I've got to learn to say, "God, there's something you're wanting me to develop and learn in the middle of this test." God loves to leave things. He leaves things in our lives to challenge and test us so that we can understand spiritual authority. Remember what we read last week in Judges when he said, "I'm the one," when they took over the promised land. Remember they went to there. He said, "I'm going to leave the Canaanites and the Philistines and all these other ites people there. I'm going to leave a certain amount of your enemies there in the region." So why? So that your children will remember what it means to learn warfare. He says, "I'm going to leave them there so they will test you and so that you can learn what it means to trust on the Lord so that we don't forget and say, oh, all of this is about me. It's about God. And I depend upon God." He says, "I leave you things to test you so that we learn to walk in our spiritual authority." Let me put it this way. You can learn. Anyone here ever deal with a bully in your life? Raise your hand if you ever had someone bully you in school, whether it was a kid. Yeah. How many's ever had a child get bullied at school? Anybody here? Yeah, it's a big thing. There's a big campaigns now teaching us how to stop bullying, and we're trying to do better in that society. Let me just say that, you know, when I was growing up, that we were taught a little bit different, right? Remember, we were taught, and I believe bullying is a very serious thing. And today, if your kid is suffering bullying at school, I challenge you and encourage you, go talk to the administration, okay? Go talk to the teacher. Do something about it, okay? It's important that we make sure our children are protected when they go to be in a learning environment. But we can go to the teachers, and we can go to the administration and do everything we can to help resolve the situation. But how many know it's more than likely there's going to come a time when you're just going to have to teach our child to stand up to that bully? I mean, I'm not promoting violence here. I would never do that. You guys know me better than that. But sometimes it's about teaching our children how to stand up in the face of the fear of that bully and say, I'm not going to take it anymore. Now, I remember my dad's like, son, you just grab the biggest thing you can and hit somebody with it and run. But you better, if you don't stand up to them, they're going to pick on you every day. And I can go down there today and resolve it for the day, but I can't come down there every day of the year. I can't come down there every week and try to take up for you. You're going to have to learn to stand your ground. And sometimes we got to teach our kids what those backpacks are really meant for. They carry around a bunch of heavy books, and sometimes you just got to take that backpack and say, bam, enough's enough. Leave me alone. I'm not promoting violence, but you know what I'm talking about. Until we stand up to that bully, it will happen. See, God allows us to go through tests to see, will we stand up? Will we stand up against the enemy when it comes and starts poking you in the chest? When it starts mouthing at you all the time? Will you stand up? Or will you say, Satan's always picking on me. Satan's always picking on my family. Satan's always doing, or are you going to stand up and say, enough's enough? I'm going to pass this test. I'm going to learn to walk in my spiritual authority. You know, you can read all the books you want to. I love it because, you know, my son Landon and I, we talk quite a bit about people at school. Every school year during the off-season of football, guys come up and are like, Landon, this year, I am taking your spot on the team. Guys who had never played before. I've been working out. Me and my dad are working out at home. And this year, I'm taking your spot. And he comes to me like, Dad, this guy's making me so mad because they're always just running their mouth all the time. And I just want to deck them. I'm like, son, we just laugh. I said, really? I said, this, let your play take care on the field. I said, we'll see what happens when the season comes around. You know, and every year they come out and many of them can't even make it past the first practice. Run! They quit. It's one thing to think that you know what to do. It's one thing to say, I believe with your mouth. It's another thing to back it up, is what I'm trying to tell you. It's one thing to say you're the man all you want, but it's another thing to go through the trial and say, I'll prove to you who's the man. I'll prove to you that I will not quit when it gets tough. It's one thing to say, oh, I believe God. I believe in God. I believe in God. Then go through a trial and say, oh, I don't know if God can help me or not. God's always picking on me. No one likes me. No. Sometimes you got to quit mouthing it and just walk it out. Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? I believe I do, but I'm not just going to mouth. I believe I'm going to walk and persevere through this test and say, you know what? I'm going to stand up to the bully. I'm going to stand up to the test. I'm going to walk this out and prove to the Lord that I am faithful. See, Deuteronomy 8:1 says it like this. Every command I give to you, we observe it, right? Look what he says. The Lord swore to your fathers, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to what? Humble us. He says, remember. I've done this to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commands or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger. How many know hunger is a hard thing to go through? He said, I allowed you to be hungry, and I fed you with manna. You didn't know, nor did your fathers know. Look what he says here. I love the way he ends this verse. This is God talking. God said that you may know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So how do we pass the test? We learn to live daily by every word that comes from the Lord. Every word. How do we live? Every word. I'm going to tell you this. This is an every word church. We don't take out the Bible in sections and just say, I believe this part and I don't believe that part. Okay? We believe in every word as inspired by the word of the Lord. Okay? And so, some of you say, Pastor, what's that mean? That means some things we're no longer required to do because Scripture talks about that. But we still believe in every word of the Lord. Okay? I don't take things out and say, I don't believe this part, but I believe this part. We believe in every word of the Lord because that's where it happens. He says, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And Jesus backed this up in the New Testament. Look at Matthew 4, okay? Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Whoa! So what it's saying here is what? That Jesus was led up by the Father. He sent the Spirit to what? Lead Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil? God tempted Jesus? God allowed Satan to tempt Jesus? God allowed Jesus to walk through a test? It was God testing Jesus. Let me say this to you. If Jesus gets tested, how much more will you and I get tested? If God's going to test Jesus, how much more will he test you and I? Look what Jesus said here. He fasted for 40 days and nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. But how do we live? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's the Old Testament principle. It's a New Testament principle that we defeat and pass the test by living by every word. Faith is acting like every word is true. Jesus said we live by every word. God said in the Old Testament we are to live by every word. There's a lot going on for you today. We pass the test by proceeding by every word that comes from the word of the Lord. But this is the problem, okay? Let's get right down to the truth of the matter today. And this is the truth. The problem we have is this. We don't think we need to be tested. That's for everybody else. That's not for me. If God really loves me, Pastor, then why is he testing me? We get offended. I mean, some of you here are offended by that statement that God's going to test you. I thought God was like all loving, and why is he testing me? Doesn't he trust me? Doesn't he believe in me? And we think, we get offended. The problem is we have a problem with being tested. But how many are glad for tests? Let me ask you this. How many are glad today that when you go buy food from the store that it has already been tested? That there's regulations that have tested to make sure those things are safe. I'm glad that they're not bringing food that's going to bring us food poisoning or food that can bring us harm. How many are glad that they give us medication that's been tested? They don't just give us a, hey, try this out. It might kill you. It might heal you. Take a chance. No, I'm glad they've tested the medication before they give it to me. They can test it on you, but I'm glad they give me the one that's been tested already. How many are glad that when you get in your car that they've already tested to make sure the thing works? I don't get in, the brakes don't work. I don't get in, the thing doesn't drive. I'm glad that my car has been tested, that it's going to pass the test before it can come off the line. How many are glad that when you get ready to go on the airport, that you don't hear this announcement?
Attention all passengers. Today, on non-test airlines, you'll be flying a plane that has not been tested. Because of budget cuts, we have decided to quit testing all of our planes and engines. So you may make it, or you may not.
How many are like, give me the first bus ticket out of here, because I am not getting on that plane. I mean, I've been on a lot of times when we got delayed, and they find out why. We were testing it out, and something didn't seem right with the engine, so we decided to call in another plane. You're going to have to wait another hour. people aren't like, oh, man. Even though somebody might be upset because they're losing their connection, they might get a little upset inside. We're always like, thank God they found the problem while we're down. Instead of finding the problem while we're in the air. We're thankful for the testing when it comes to that, right? But when it comes to God testing us, what I'm trying to prove to you is we live our day, every single day, with things that have been tested and proven to bring us benefit. But when God wants to test us, we get all offended. Why am I being tested? He's going to test you to make sure he can trust you. He's going to test you to make sure it's safe. He's going to test you. He's going to test me. He tests us to develop us. So why are we tested? Let's give it to you real fast. This is why we're tested. Number one, to follow God's instructions. He tests us to follow his instructions. Will we follow his instructions? Remember last week I talked to you about our children. We just don't throw the keys to them and say, here you go. You're 16. You passed your driver's license test. Have fun. Here's my keys. No. Can you follow my instructions? Can you be home at curfew? Can you go to where you're saying you're going to go and come straight back when you tell me you're going to do that? When those things don't happen, I don't trust you. But the more you follow my instructions, the more I give you leeway, the more freedom I give you. He's testing us. Will we follow his instructions? He tests us to see. Why? He's testing us to help us, to keep us from sinning. Simple put, he's testing us to see. Will we follow through? Will we compromise? Can he trust us? If he puts us in a place of leadership, can he trust us in that place? Will we walk with integrity? He tests us to see if we will love the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul. That's why we just read that scripture a minute ago. He said, I test you so we know whether or not you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. You can get up and say you're the man all you want. But when trials come, will you stick by those words? You can say, I believe, I believe, I believe. But when difficult situations come, are you like, see you later, I'm out of here. God's not looking for any yellow-bellied Christians, you know what I'm saying here? He wants someone with a backbone. He's going to stand up. Number four, to teach warfare to all the generations. He tests us to teach warfare to the next generations. What he said, I'm leaving the test here so that you can teach the future generations about warfare. How can I walk in the promise that says, I am more than a conqueror if I've never conquered anything? How can I walk and say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper if I've never faced anything? But when I pass the test, I can pick my head up and say, you know what? I've been through these tests before. Satan, you want to destroy me. It's all right. I'm picking my head up. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on faith. Straight ahead, God, you are in control of my life. And nothing the enemy brings my way will defeat me. God, you will always bring me out. No matter how tough it gets, no matter how dark it gets, the promise is that weeping lasts through the night. But joy shall return in the morning. And so I walk in those promises, but I can't do that if I've never walked through a dark hour. If I've never had to pass the test, I can't walk. If every time I face a tough test and I run and I quit, I build no spiritual momentum in my life. Number five, to teach us humility. We talked about this last week, that God brings tests in our lives so that we remember it's not about me, it's about God. That's what he says. He says, don't learn to think more highly of yourself than you are. Don't become intoxicated with yourself, thinking, oh, all this happened because of my ability. All this happened because of who I am, my talents. He says, when that happens, that God will test us so that we remember everything comes from the God. Let me tell it to you this way. The world is full of talented people. Now, I'm going to break some news to some of you here. It's going to really hurt you. I know your mommy and daddy have told you all your life that you're the best thing since sliced bread. I know the school you went to praised you, and I think, you know, you went to college and you were this or that. But the world is full of talented, very, very talented people. What's going to separate you is your humility in saying, Everything I have comes from God. Everything I will be comes from God. And I don't do anything unless God hasn't blessed me. And I don't get anywhere unless God goes before me. And I don't have any door open unless God opens it for me. God reminds us to go through those with humility, so we don't come full of ourselves and allow pride to come in. We've seen that happen in so many people who have been elevated to places of success, and they had no humility, and pride came in and has led to the destruction of their life. Hollywood's full of people. The business world's full of people. The music world's full of people who haven't learned this lesson. Number six, to prove our character. He tests us to prove our character. Can he trust us? Can he trust us? And number seven, he tests us to, so we'll begin to learn how to obey God's word. So I learned to trust every word that comes from the Father. Let me say this to you. Money can't teach you, but trials can. Money can't teach you, but trials can. I spent thousands of dollars on a degree. Thousands, like many of you. I spent thousands and thousands of dollars. Isn't it ironic that we'll spend thousands and thousands of dollars to learn information from people who have never really experienced what they're teaching us? Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. They went to school and got education, but they never really lived it out, you know? Especially when it comes to pastors, a lot of times people who can't make it in the pastoral world go back to college and teach. And then they have to go back. Hold this. Take that part off the tape. I don't want my instructors to hear that. I don't care, actually. That's all right. But you know what I'm talking about? We have people who try to teach you book knowledge. And I have thousands of dollars spent in book knowledge on how to be a pastor and how to do Christian leadership and to do things. But you know what? None of that really matters. You know what really matters? It's 20 years of living it out. 20 years of walking through some hurts and trials, and 20 years of walking through struggles, 20 years of going through tough times in ministry have developed me now to be the pastor I am, to take this church into the next generation and to the next level. Why? Because no books prepared me for that. It was just tough life lessons of passing the test. This church is full of people who have been hurt. And so I've had to walk through some really hurtful times in my life in ministry so that I can now help you be restored through the hurtful thing you've gone through. I can go through and I can realize that, boy, I remember what it is to have 70% of my income cut. So I know what it is to think, God, if this bill doesn't get paid, I don't know where it's going to come from. But my trust is in you. I don't know where it's going to happen next week. We got to better pray it in, honey. We better give everything we got to God and hope that he multiplies it next week because we don't got another week. I've lived there, been there, done that. So I can get up here and teach it, not just out of head knowledge, but I give it to you out of experience. You see, book knowledge and head knowledge will give you information, but experience brings transformation. You ever had a class by somebody who lived what they're actually teaching? You got so much more out of that class. Not every professor is that way, but some of our professors did. They actually were teaching a class that they actually walked and lived out, and you got so much more out of that class because you wasn't just getting book knowledge and theology. You were getting an experience that went along with that. You're like, oh, this is so much better. I'm receiving so much more. See, tough lessons bring maturity in our life, bring us to where God wants us. And this is the test we're all facing. Look at Acts 4:12. Peter and John had just healed a man. And now they're being brought before the Sanhedrin to give an account. Jesus has been crucified, resurrected, ascended to heaven, and now they are having to give an account for their belief in Jesus. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has been made well, let us know this, let it all be known to you all, that to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you made whole. I mean, you talk about boldness. They're telling them you can't talk about Jesus. You can't confess Jesus. And they're saying the reason why he's healed is because of Jesus. And then he tells them, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Let me tell you, we are living this out right now. Look what their response is. They didn't like this response. So in verse 17:20, look what they said. But stop. The government was telling them, stop this thing from spreading any further among the people. We must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. They're commanding him, saying, you can't tell people that Jesus heals. You can't tell people that Jesus saves. This sounds a little familiar to you today. We're in a society that says, you can't tell people that Jesus is the only way, because all roads lead to heaven. And as long as you believe in a God, they're all the gods are the same. They're one God. And we're all happy together. You can live your life how you want to. You don't have to listen to this, because this means I've got to proceed out of every word out of the mouth of God. But if I tell you all roads lead to heaven, then you can believe in your own God and it's all the same. And we'll stop anybody else from saying it's any different. Are we facing that time today? This is a test you and I are facing right now. And you're going to have to decide right now how you're going to pass this test. Look what they said. You can't speak on his name anymore. Then they called them again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But look what Peter and John replied. Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Society today is going to tell you that you can no longer talk about Jesus. We can't even say Merry Christmas without somebody saying it's not correct. We can't even say God bless you when someone sneezes. Do you realize our military aren't even allowed to publicly speak in a church in a military uniform anymore? I mean, society is coming in and trying to tell us what we can do, who Jesus is to us. I mean, they're coming in, they're putting their finger right in your spiritual chest today and said, you better not say Jesus is the only way. But how many know when you've been changed? When you've been healed? When you've been delivered, when you've been set free, when you've been redeemed, you can't help but say, there is no other name except for the name of Jesus Christ. And there's still power in Jesus' name. This is the test you and I are going to face. You better get ready. Are you ready to put your life on the line for what you really believe? Oh, it never happened in America. That's what we said 10 years ago, right? That only happens before. It's happening here on our own turf, in our own society. You're going to be able to say, I stand up and believe in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Peter, that's what will build my church. That's what's going to stop the gates of hell. It's that proclamation, not, oh, he's everything. He's everybody's God. Everybody gets there on their own way. No. He says, I'm the only way. I'm the only way. Are you going to stand up and pass that test that we go through today? Preference is a choice-based convenience. Preference is a choice-based convenience, but conviction is a non-negotiable requirement. Conviction is a non-negotiable requirement. There's a lot of people who use the Word of God for preference. I prefer to use God here and here, and I prefer to use Him over here. But we can be bought out. If it's not right, then we'll twist it around. Well, I guess it's okay. No. A conviction is it's non-negotiable. A conviction says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord no matter what. We're going to pass this test. We're going to pass this test. I want to show you a video today as we get ready to close. It's a video of a baby bear being chased by a mountain lion. I want you to see the test this baby bear goes through.
We have provided a link to this video on the sermon's webpage on mydestinychurch.com.
Look at this video today. I want you to see, look, what did this baby bear just learn in those 3 minutes we watched? What did that baby bear just learn? Bring that back up, please, if you could. Bring that next slide up. What did that baby bear learn? First of all, he learned to don't wander off too far from protection, right? In that short amount of time, he wondered, don't get too far away from mama. Don't get yourself too far out on a limb. How many of us have done that in our life? Don't jump into the water that's over your head. Don't sign that contract. Don't jump in the water over your head. But the most important thing he learned was at some point, sometimes you got to learn to stand your ground. And there's something that's powerful about that baby bear planting its heels and letting out a roar. And that enemy begins to take off. And what he doesn't realize is that when he roars, that the mother bear is right there behind him. You see, in our life, many times we're going through tests and battles in our life. And we don't realize that God is right there with us. Our Heavenly Father is right there with us throughout the whole test. And it's when we dig our feet in and look at that enemy or that test we're going through, and we let out a war cry. Enough is enough! I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I will not be defeated. The Heavenly Father stands behind us, and He gives out a spiritual cry in the heavenlies that send demons fleeing, that makes the mountains tremble. And He's with us, and He's behind us, and He's overseeing us, and He's right there with us, helping us go through it. But at some point, you got to dig those heels in and say, I'm not going to be defeated. I'm going to pass this test. I'm tired of being picked on. I'm tired of failing the same test over and over again. It's time for me to pick my head up, to go forward in faith, and say, I'm going to walk it out. I said, I believe. I'm going to show you, God. I believe you are the Messiah. I believe you are the rock. I believe you are my strength. I believe you are my healer. I believe you are my redeemer. I believe you are my provider. I believe you are the resurrected God. I believe you are my shelter in my time of storm. I believe. And I walk it out in faith. I invite you to stand today. How many today, Pastor, I'm going through a test in my life right now. As you're talking, I'm walking through some hard tests. Anybody here? You got several hands going up. See, this is, God knows it. This is perfect timing for you today. It's time for you to dig your heels in and say, God, I'm going to pass this test. Let's make it personal today as we declare. Set a fire in our heart today. Come on, make it.
Come on, let's lift our hands this morning.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain.
Come on, sing it to him.
Let me tell you this today. I want to tell you this today. How many are glad that our Father lets us retake the test? That's the kind of grace that He shows us. So the good news is, some of you here, you feel defeated. You said, man, Pastor, I've been flunking my test. Well, the good news is this, that He allows us to do retakes. And we get do-overs. So this week, you're going to have a new set of tests. I'll keep flunking the same test, and you will, until you pass it, and then you'll have a different test. But today, I'm thankful that our Father allows us to have do-overs, allows us to retake the test. Today, we're going to close with this. I want you to do this with me today. Just like that baby bear at some point got tired of being pushed around and dug its heels in the ground and let out a roar, we're going to give out a holy shout unto the Lord today that says this: I am tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of flunking this test. I'm tired of being bullied. I'm tired of of going to this place and feeling like I'm not getting anywhere. I've had enough, Pastor. I'm ready to spiritually go forward. And I want you to let out a war cry today that says this: I am ready to release something in my spirit. So on the count of three, we're going to let out the biggest war we can let out today, cry out to God today, and just let Satan know right now that we've had enough. Okay, are you ready to join me? On the count of three. One, you say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm tired of fucking this test. Two, I'm tired of letting the bully, Satan, tell me what I'm going to do. I'm ready to be free. Are you ready? Three, come on, let it roar today.
Come on, keep it going. Come on, lift it up. Come on, lift the shout. I'm praying in this place. Come on. Come on, tell them we're done. We're free in this place. Come on. Hallelujah. We give you glory. Now, come on, let's lift it up to them one more time in this place. Let's declare that we want you to set a fire in this place. Come on, set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
Come on!
I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
Come on, one more time, let's lift it up. Come on, one more time, let's celebrate before we go home. Lift it up to the sun, set a fire.
I'm ready. How about you? Are you ready? I'm ready. Turn to somebody, give them a high five, and say, I'm going to pass the test. Come on, tell them. I'm going to pass the test. God bless you. We'll see you tonight in life groups.